Good morning, church. So good to see you today. Welcome. This is the week after Easter, and I'm so glad you're here on the, what we call this, post-Easter Sunday. So Easter's great, but in my opinion, every week in the house of the Lord is a good week. Every week is a good week to celebrate Jesus. Every week we ought to celebrate his death and resurrection. So I'm glad you're here to celebrate that with me. I want to talk to us today on the topic of what's next. I want to talk to you about what's next in your spiritual walk with God. Before I do that, I do want to take us back to Easter for just a moment because it was such an amazing, incredible experience, and I don't want to run past that without just kind of commenting in a few ways. And first, I want to say to our setup teams that came in early on Easter morning to set up all of this, God bless you guys and ladies. I appreciate you all so much. Amazing. If you served in any other capacity, thank you so much. It means so much. It matters. And lives were changed. We had 952 people here last week, so that's good. Come on. That's really good. Just in comparison, that's about 300 more people here on Easter Sunday than we have on a normal Sunday. So 300, that's good. That's really good. How did they get here? Well, sometimes the people just come because they're your family. You know, they come out of town and they want to go to church, and some of you are like, want to bring your parents. I love that. It's awesome to have friends and family out of town. Some people came because of the extravaganza we had 2 weeks before that. And so we met people. We had people fill out connection cards and tell us they came because of that event, which means that event was a success and we will do it again. So all those that served at that, God bless you. You're rock stars in my opinion. It's awesome. Also, some people came because you invited them to church. And that's just really amazing when you reach out and you say, hey, would you come to church? I love my church. I love what God's doing. I'd like you to come be here with me. And so we kind of realized this week when we were looking at our connection cards, there's a spot on our cards that says, how did you hear about us? And so on Sunday when Easter, we had everybody fill those cards out, there was a particular person's name who got listed several times as the person that had invited them to church. And so I just wanted to say thank you to this one person that is single-handedly growing our church. We also realize that this one person every week has someone put their name on that card. And so we want to give a shout out to Steve Blagg today. Where is Steve? Where are you at, Steve? Steve, come here, bro. You are the man. You are growing our church. There are people that are here because you said thank you and come to my church. Awesome. Come on, give him a round of applause. Come here, bro. Hey, man, I got a gift card for you because we want to say thank you. We're going to start a new Steve Blagg Award. All right. So when you start inviting people to church like this guy does, we'll give you a moment on the platform, and we'll say you get the Steve Blagg Award because every week someone's putting your name on there. So you must be a talker. I don't know how you're getting it done, but we love you. You'll also know Steve because he's the one in the parking lot every single Sunday. Man, you are the model member for us, and so we love you. God bless you, Steve. Thank you so much. Come on, give Steve one good round. Come on. He's amazing. Hey, watch your step, bro. Woo. Love it. The Steve Blagg Award. And let me tell you, because of Steve Blagg's and so many of you, 21 people gave their life to Christ last week at Sunday service Easter. So that's amazing, amazing. If you're one of those 21, we're so glad you're here. Welcome back to church. It's amazing. Let's pray. Father, thanks for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Steve Blagg. Thank you for all the others that served and did so many things and inviting people. All of us played a part. And Lord, so many people came to know you last week, and I just am so grateful for that. God, I pray as we talk about what's next for us, each of us would kind of make a decision that I have a next step. And God, use this message today to encourage us, to lift us, and to help us take a next step in our walk with you. Father, we love you. Come on, everybody give me a great amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Hey, if you're a note taker, which I highly recommend, You ought to write that down on your piece of paper right now, on the connection card somewhere. Write that down. What's next for me? Have you ever been to church and you heard a message and you thought, that's for my spouse? Have you ever done that? Oh, you know you have. Or that's for the person that didn't come. That, you know, like, man, that person needed that. And we've all done that. Well, I want you to know today isn't for them. It's not for your spouse, so don't be looking at them today. Everybody put your hand right here. Yeah, this is for me today. What's my next step in my walk with God? God has a next step for you. Psalms 37, 23 says, the Lord, He directs the steps of the godly. He has a next step. He has what's next for you. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of your life. He delights in every little step forward in Him. Every step, every little thing you do that gets you closer to God, it brings Him joy. And today, I believe He wants to help you get a little closer to Him by taking a next step in what God wants for you. Next steps are always moving forward. I think if you're not moving forward, you're probably going to end up moving backwards in your life. If you've ever thought you could keep it in neutral in your walk with God, you'll find that pretty soon you're actually in reverse. You never stay in neutral. You always somehow, life just pushes us backwards. And so you've got to be intentional about going forward. You've got to be intentional about what is my next step. And so I'm here to help all of us, including myself, take a next step. What is my next step? So I want to take us to the book of Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to look at a little part of scripture. And this is right after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we read through scripture, you'll find that for the 40 days after Jesus had resurrected, He appeared to the disciples and many other people, and He made an appearance to them. Now, last week we talked about Mary Magdalene. Jesus appeared to them, to her. We know that He appeared to the disciples at different times. He appeared to two men that were walking from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus, and He appeared to them. It tells us in 2 Corinthians that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at one time. And so Jesus made His appearances to many people. On one occasion, though, He was with His disciples, the 11 disciples, and He gave them their next step. He said, here's what's next for you. I have died, I've resurrected. He said, I'm going to go to the Father, but I need you to know what's next. And so we're going to take what He told them and put that in our life. Amen to that? So Matthew chapter 28, 16 says, then the 11 disciples left Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when He saw Him, when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, and some of them doubted. Hey, I want you to know, if you're here today and you still have doubts in your walk with God, it's okay. The disciples were looking at Him, still doubted. Hey, this is a safe place for you to come and doubt. I believe God will reveal Himself in His due time. Some of them doubted. And it says in verse 18, Jesus came and He told His disciples. He said, here's what's next. He said, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the disciples were given their next step. They were given a mission to accomplish. And so we want to take their mission, apply it in our life, and take four different parts of the mission statement they had and apply it in our life. And so the next thing you can write on your notes is, as we take our next step when we become a disciple. When we become a disciple. The Bible says in Matthew 28, He said to these 11 disciples, He said, therefore go make disciples. And so we are to be made into a disciple. We are to believe in Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who follows Jesus. A disciple is one who learns about Jesus, and they follow Him, and they grow, and they become more and more like Christ. Now, I want you to consider, though, the perspective that the disciples, these 11 disciples, had, the filter that they had when Jesus said to go make disciples. They filtered this through their own experience of how they became disciples. And what we know about these disciples, the first 11 that we see in Scripture, we know that they left their families to follow Jesus. We know that their experience was that they left businesses and jobs to follow Jesus. We know from their experience that they left their homes to follow Jesus. They left their reputations to follow Jesus. For them, they valued following Jesus more than anything else in life. They were a disciple. They were followers of Jesus, and nothing compared to being close to Him and learning and growing in Him. Now, on Easter, we celebrated the death and the resurrection of Christ. Both death and resurrection. And both the death and the resurrection have significance to us on how we become a disciple and what we believe about discipleship. And so I want to teach you something kind of real quick about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus' death represents for us that He paid for our sins. He died on the cross, His blood was shed, and He died, He paid for my sins. That's why we call Jesus Savior, because He saved me from the punishment of my sins. Jesus is Savior. Everybody say Savior? Jesus is my Savior. So when He died on the cross and He was buried, He became our Savior because He paid for our sins. The Bible teaches us that next, Jesus was raised back to life. When Jesus was raised back to life, it proves that He was the Son of God, that He is the one that was anointed from heaven to be our risen Christ. He is crowned the King of all kings. When we see Him as a risen Christ, we know that He has authority over all sin and all death. We respect Him. We see Him not just as Savior, but now we see Him as our risen Lord. You see, there's a little bit of a difference between Savior and Lord. Savior is a place where He has died on the cross and saved me from my sin. Lord means, though, that He has control and authority in my life. And sometimes I think we miss He is both Savior and Lord. He was crucified and risen to be Lord. And sometimes we miss it a little bit. Because Jesus as my Savior, then I stand and I celebrate Him. Like, I like it when I stepped up here a minute ago and we're all clapping because He saved a wretch like me. I don't take it for granted. Listen, I want to be, as the pastor of this church, the most extravagant celebrator of Jesus Christ who died for my sins. Honestly, my goal is every Sunday is to make sure you can't outpraise me up here on the front row. So you give it your best shot. I got you. You think you can beat me? Tanya's pretty good at it. I'll give her that. So because, well, I'm so grateful that He's my Savior. Jesus as Savior, I stand and celebrate. Jesus as Lord, I bow in humility before Him. See, there's a place for both, because He is Savior and Lord. As my Savior, I praise Him with a joyful heart. As my Lord, I worship Him reverently in my heart. As my Savior, I am free from the bondage of sin and law. As my Lord, I'm submitted to His authority. He is both Savior and Lord. As my Savior, Jesus is my friend. As my Lord, Jesus is my boss. He's both. He's both. You see, I am saved by grace so that I can serve Him in obedience. I'm saved to serve. He is my Savior and my Lord. And I think too often that we celebrate Jesus as Savior, but we neglect to serve Him as Lord. And when we lean into Jesus as Savior only, we miss the obedience that He wants in our life. When we lean into Him as Lord only, and we're we don't have a great understanding of his Savior, then we become legalistic and rigid and honestly a little mean. You ever run into a mean Christian? You know why they're mean? Because they're all about the legal and the law, and it's like, he is Lord. Yeah, he is Lord, but he's also Savior, and there's grace. We need to know Jesus as a disciple, and your next step may be today. One is know him first as Savior, then know him as Lord. If you've never met Jesus Christ, today's the day to do it. If you met him last week, God bless you. But maybe for some of us here, we need to know him as Lord and learn to obey him a little more today. You okay with that? Back row, everybody okay? We want to obey him. Thank you. All of us. Hey, that's for me and you. So what's next? After the disciples were told and commissioned to go make disciples, we take our next step when we are baptized. That's what he said to the disciples in Matthew 28. He said, baptize them. Who's them? Those that became disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism means to be immersed in water. And so what's going to happen next Sunday, we're going to have a baptism service, a moment in our service where we baptize people. And so we're going to have a little hot tub right over here. And so we're going to, and we hope it's warm. I can't promise that. But there's going to be water, because that's what the Bible says. You need water. It didn't say it had to be warm. All right, but it's going to be, so just know there's going to be water. We'll do our best to make it warm, but no promises. But here's what's going to happen. Is those that are ready to be baptized, we're going to step you into this pool of water. We're going to lay you down into the water, and then we're going to raise you back out of the water. And that symbolizes both the death that we say we are tied to, that we are appreciative of, the symbolic nature of Jesus died for our sins, but then we're going to be raised out of the water to recognize him as Lord. And that my old self is dead into the waters and my new self is risen to life. It's a powerful time. And if you've never been baptized, then I want to encourage you to sign up today to be baptized. If you were one of the 21 that got saved last week, then you should get baptized this week. That's your next step. Maybe you've been serving God for a long time, but somehow you've missed the baptism part. Next week, you can be baptized. On your connection card, click the box that says, I want to be baptized. You can go online and sign up. Only one thing you need to know about it is the deadline to sign up is Monday night at midnight, because Tuesday we start making all our plans. And so once you sign up, we'll send you an email. We'll get you all locked in. But baptism is your next step. It's a powerful moment. You know what it is? Baptism is a ceremony that you've made a vow to Jesus. It's a ceremony. It's a public ceremony. Kind of reminds me of our wedding when we were married. We had a ceremony. We invited people to come. Like, come watch us get married. Come watch us exchange our vows. Come watch us make a commitment to be devoted to one another. And people came, and it was great, and we exchanged our vows, we exchanged rings. We made a public demonstration of what was happening inside our heart. And that's what baptism is. It's a public demonstration of what God is doing in your heart, your devotion to him. And so you want to make this public declaration, this public way of saying, I am devoted to Jesus. He is both my Savior and my Lord. And so next week is going to be great. You got to come. If you are being baptized, invite all your friends, just like a ceremony. Say, come watch me be baptized. It's going to be amazing. And you can demonstrate your faith through baptism. Amen, church? Amen, amen. So after the commissioning to the disciples, he said, go make disciples. Then he said, baptize those who believe. And next in Matthew 28, 19, verse 20, he says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands. In other words, he was like, hey, disciples, you got to grow people. Like, don't just get them saved and say, you know, good luck. Like, help them grow. in their walk with God. The 21 people, honestly, that gave their life to Christ, I'm so excited about it because we have information about them. They signed a card. They told us their address and their phone number. Why? Because we want to teach them. We want to help them. We want to help them take their next step in their walk with God. Because God's got so many good things for them. I don't want to miss out on anything because we didn't help them. And this is what he was teaching the disciples. He said, teach them to obey. And when we do that, church, write this down. We take our next step when we grow in our relationship with God. God wants us to grow up in him. And so the disciples were commissioned to do that. Let me tell you how they did it. Here's how the disciples helped the new believers grow. They started a church. That's what they did. In Acts chapter 2, they started a church. A whole bunch of people got saved. A whole bunch of people began to believe in Jesus. And the first thing and the only thing they did was start a church. Because the church is the best place that you will learn how to grow in your walk with God. It's the primary way God uses to grow us in the Lord. Amen? I learned about this from an experience I had coming out of college. Quick little story. Before college, I was part of an amazing revival in our hometown. I helped in our youth group at our church. We went from 4 people to over 200 people in 2 years in our youth group because a revival broke out and God allowed me to be a part of that. I served God with my whole heart through some of my high school days. Then I got to college and I got disconnected from church. I got disconnected from family. And the enemy is pretty sneaky. And he found some vices that I was prone to. And it wasn't long before I'm in college and I'm heavily drinking and abusing alcohol. Then it progressed to drugs. And so I found myself totally messed up in my life. My parents were at home. I thought I was fooling them, but, you know, you're never fooling people. They can see it in your eyes. They know. They were praying for me at home. About 3.5 years of college at App State nearly destroyed my life. There's always a high cost to low living. I was living low. I was paying a price in relationships broken. I was having panic attacks, flunking out of school. I mean, it was just, I was a mess. And it was so not who I was supposed to be. Like, I knew so much more. I had so much more purpose in my life. And I got disconnected and my life began to spiral. So I remember on a Sunday afternoon, I just had this moment of conviction where I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me that I needed to clean up my mess. I needed change. And so I packed up my belongings out of my apartment, packed them in my Camaro, and I drove back to my hometown to my parents a couple hours away. And I remember sitting in the driveway outside before I walked in to my parents' house because I knew I was going to go in. If I went in, like should be at college, I knew if I was going in, I needed to be ready to spill the beans. I needed to be ready to confess my stuff, and I needed to be ready to clean it up. And I was a little bit intimidated for a moment. How do I walk in and tell my parents what I've been into and how bad it is? And so I was a little hesitant. I remember I tapped on the door, not that I had to, but I just tapped on the door, and I began to enter the house, and my parents were sitting kind of on this little upstairs area, and I said, hey guys, you mind if I come in? I mean, like, of course they didn't care, but they came to the top of the stairs, and they said to me, are you okay? Like, physically, they thought maybe something was wrong, and I'm like, I'm okay physically, but inside, it's not good. And I remember they came down those stairs, and they hugged me, and they said these two words. They said, welcome home. I want you to know that when we put welcome home around our building, it's not because that's catchy. It's because the grace of Jesus Christ is trying to welcome home sinners like me. And when you see those words, I want you to know that Jesus, he said, there's a place for you here. The pastor you're going to listen to today, he has experienced the grace of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you what my parents did. They did one thing. They did one thing. They took me to church the next day. They took me to church. And here's what happened. The next day, they took me to church. They sat me down with my pastor, Pastor Frank Harvey, and they said, hey, he has something he wants to tell you. And then they left, and I sat with my pastor, and I confessed everything I've ever done in my entire life to my pastor. He loved me, and he said, well, we're going to go into a 90-day discipleship training season. And so for 90 days, I met my pastor at 6 a.m. in the morning and at 6 p.m. in the evening. At 6 a.m., we prayed. At 6 p.m., I said, here's what my plans are for tonight, and he'd say, no. Hey, you don't know that you're submitted to authority until they tell you no. And he told me no almost every day at 6 p.m. I'd be like, I'm going to go hang out with my buddies. He's like, no, that's going to get you in more trouble. I ended up babysitting for my pastor all the time. But let me tell you what happened. In 90 days, I fell in love with my pastor and I fell in love with my church because I began to serve and I began to show up every time the doors were open. I found a network of friends and family. There were older people than me would come alongside me and hug me and say, you can do this. I found a family that said, you can be more, you can do more. And I found that in my church. And I want you to know, wherever you are, you won't be all that God called you to be without a family right here loving you, encouraging you, and lifting you up. Don't think that you can make it on your own and be all God wanted you to called you to do. I can think of a couple analogies of being disconnected. A couple analogies. A football player without a team. A soldier without a platoon. A tuba player without an orchestra. But the Bible says it's like a child without a family. Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15, it says, you will know how to live in the family of God. The family is the church of the living God. And look what it does. It supports you, and it's the foundation of your truth. It supports you, the family, the church. The church is a family, and we're called to be part of a family. It says in Ephesians 2:19, it says, you are citizens together with God's holy people. You belong to God's family. You're to be a part of something, a local church. And the disciples, they started church, and people got in the church, they attended church, they were part of one another, and they lifted each other, and God used that to grow their life. If you want to ask me, what's the number one thing anyone can do to grow up in the Lord, I would tell you to get deeply involved in your church. Past watching. I'm so glad you came. There's another step involved. I want to encourage you in that. And my last point for today is we take our next step when we make the mission our purpose. The mission our purpose. You see, he said to those 11 disciples, he said, here's your commission. Your mission is to go make disciples. What we're supposed to do as we grow in the Lord, it circle back and help other people grow in the Lord. We're supposed to go help reach the lost and bring them to church. We should be, come on, getting the Steve Blagg Award. Right on? And so our mission becomes the Great Commission, and that becomes your mission and your purpose in life. Now, I'm not saying that you won't have your jobs and do awesome in your careers and be a policeman and a doctor and a lawyer, whatever God's called you to do, but the greatest mission you'll ever have is to fulfill the Great Commission of helping others come to know Christ and being part of the plan of reaching people and discipling people. Amen, church? Amen, amen. So, what's your next step? What's your next step? Maybe it's to give your life to Christ. Maybe your next step is to be baptized. Maybe it's to go to the booths out in the lobby after service and sign up for a small group or to serve. Maybe it's to start inviting people to church or just sharing your faith with others. What's your next step? Let me close with prayer. Father, I thank you that today we get to be in church. We think about those families in Sri Lanka who went through devastation and their church was bombed, and here we sit in the comforts of our room. God, help us to always appreciate what you've given us and never take for granted that we get to gather as a church today. Father, for those that don't know you, Lord, I pray that they would take the next step and they would believe in Jesus as both their Savior and their Lord. And as I pray, I'm going to invite all of you to say this prayer with me. And if you've never given your life to Christ, then this is your prayer. We'll all say it with you. Join me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe that he died and was raised back to life. I choose Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Give a little clap for that. He's so good. So good. Yeah.